the renewal of the Lansing School District's non-homestead millage passed soundly yesterday, 75% or so supporting. Peter Spadafore, president of the Lansing School Board and a supporter of the renewal, who was on this program yesterday, called it a great vote of confidence from the community in a tweet last night. And Peter Spadafore was on the show Monday, I beg your pardon. A great vote of confidence from the community last night from Mr. Spadafore. A proposed $1.95 million increase in property taxes in Grand Ledge was narrowly defeated, according to the Lansing State Journal. That measure would have raised $60 million or so for a variety of initiatives in Grand Ledge, but it went down. Later this hour on Current State, we're off to Owosso for the reopening of the Lebowski Center. That's coming up in just a few minutes. And this week on Neighbors in Action, we talk with a couple of representatives from Lansing's Northwest Initiative, the neighborhood organization, about all of the work they do, and it is a lot of work. From the top of our program today, the Center for Michigan yesterday released the results of a seven-month survey of people across our state. The report, issued in conjunction with Bridge Magazine, is called Michigan Speaks, a Citizen's Agenda for the 2014 Elections. It compiles the results of thousands of conversations into what they hope will spur debate during this year's elections. What topics do the people of Michigan most vigorously want their politicians to address? Well, joining us on Current State to talk about that and what it might mean to the political process this year is Amber DeLind. Amber's outreach director, director with the Center for Michigan. Amber, welcome.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Let's start with some basics. The Center for Michigan is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization, and your idea here is to encourage a focus on these issues that citizens brought up. It's the fourth time you've done a survey like this, and as an example of how it's been used in the past, the center sponsored the only gubernatorial debate in the 2010 election. Did you employ that survey's findings in the 2010 election?
Absolutely. Actually, the candidates in that debate debated some of the issues that were within the pages of that report.
Are you pursuing another gubernatorial debate this year?
This year, I don't think we're planning to host another debate, but we do plan to do numerous candidate engagement events throughout the summer, as well as the fall, and we're hoping to invite Michigan residents to attend some of those events.
Well, explain the methodology of the survey, please. I know you connected with a lot of citizens in a variety of ways.
We did. So this particular round of public engagement included talking with Michigan residents in three different ways. The first and our biggest effort are what we call community conversations. These are town hall style events. They take place across the state in places like churches, community centers, bars, really a variety of places.
Bars?
Even bars.
People can get very opinionated in bars.
That is true. You have to be careful. So we hosted 166 of those community conversations across the state, beginning in late September and concluding the first week of April. We supplemented the findings of those community conversations with two large statewide phone polls. We had 1,200 people in those phone polls. And then the third option for people to participate was in an online version of our community conversation, which was hosted on our website, thecenterformichigan.net.
And altogether, about 5,500 people shared their thoughts with you. This year's survey found a focus on four main issues. Let's talk about each one a little bit. Roads, bridges, and infrastructure investment. Big surprise there.
Sure.
What did people have to say about fixing the roads?
Well, this was an interesting concept to us. I mean, particularly after this wicked winter, I think it's probably not surprising that Michigan residents have a strong interest in fixing the roads. However, what did surprise us is that when we asked Michigan residents, are you willing to pay more in taxes to fix the roads, they said yes. And that was a bit of a surprise to us, given some other findings we had around public money.
Did you get into which taxes, though? Did you go that deep?
We didn't ask specifically, you know, how they would like to fund roads. But we just asked, you know, are they willing to pay a little bit more out of their pocketbook? And people said yes.
Okay. So generally, they are willing to spend more. Education issues that came up included improving K-12 performance, high school graduation rates, and college career readiness. Can you expand on what people had to say about those?
Absolutely. So this focus on education was not surprising to the center. We actually, in 2012, had a specific round of community conversations focused on K-12 education because we had been hearing so frequently that this was such a large concern to Michigan residents. And what we heard essentially is that Michigan residents are concerned that students are, in some ways, their performance is falling behind their peers in other states and around the world. And primarily, it seemed as though Michigan residents are very concerned about students being prepared for what comes next for them, whether that be college, career, some sort of vocational or technical certificate. Michigan residents are concerned that that students are leaving their K-12 education experience and not finding themselves prepared for what comes next for them.
Did the respondents say, did they say one way or the other that the state needs to increase investment? Financial investment in education?
That's an excellent question. So when we talked public money, we asked Michigan residents, is there an area of spending that you most want to see increased? We also asked if there is an area of spending they would most like to see decreased. The most popular spending area for increases in both community conversations and in phone polls was K-12 education, but that didn't reach a majority level. So what we're finding when we talked public money was that Michigan residents are kind of signaling a new normal when it comes to public money. They feel as though this is the amount of money we're going to have in our state for probably a while. So they're wanting our state leaders to be innovative and get creative and find new solutions for tackling some of our state's complex problems.
But I want to make sure I understand you. Are you saying that the state citizens are okay with the amount of money invested in education, but they are willing to part with more on infrastructure?
So we asked a specific question about infrastructure because we had a feeling when we designed this campaign that there was a possibility that there may be, for example, a ballot measure on road funding.
Okay.
So we asked that question specifically. We didn't ask a specific question, are you willing to pay more for K-12 education? But when we asked people, is there a spending area you would be most willing to see increases for, the largest percentage of our respondents said K-12 education.
Interesting. The third issue is also related to education. Mm-hmm. Specifically, that's college affordability. About 80% say this is an urgent priority.
Yes. We noted that college affordability is a very raw issue for Michigan residents. When we asked people in our conversations, what do you think about college affordability? They people were very passionate in their responses. They said, how can we expect our young people when they leave a college program, $50,000 in debt, for example, how can we expect them to go out and start a business or they're starting behind the eight ball? Mm-hmm. Was a comment that we heard frequently. So we found 80% of our community conversation participants, 78% of those phone polled, said this is an urgent priority for our state.
And fourth, decreasing poverty was a big issue. Mm-hmm. Even though people seemed to express this as a sentiment more than they offered clear solutions.
Precisely. And we found this was a bit of a surprise for me personally, because the center has asked about poverty in previous community conversation campaigns. And in this particular case, for the first time, poverty was considered an urgent priority across all demographic groups. People in all income groups and all worker groups and all races and ages said that this is an urgent priority to them. So it's not just people in poverty who are saying this.
Okay. And what do you make of that, though?
I think I'm, to for me, my personal takeaway is that, despite the fact that Michigan seems to be at least making some gains after our Great Recession in our state, I think people are still very acutely sensing that our state is recovering, but perhaps more slowly than they would have hoped, and that there are a lot of people that are still feeling the pains of that recession, and that to grow as a state, we all have to see some success, not just some.
Our first guest today on Current State is Amber DeLand. Amber is Outreach Director with the Center for Michigan, and we're talking about the center's brand new Michigan Speaks, a citizen's agenda for the 2014 elections, the result of 5,500 responses to to questions from the Center for Michigan about what Michigan's biggest issues are. Did raising the minimum wage come up? That's certainly out there. That's in play.
Absolutely. So we asked a question, well, you know, what level of priority does increasing the minimum wage have to you? And this public opinion here was a bit more nuanced. It did not quite reach majority support amongst Michigan residents. However, there is a significant split among demographic groups. There are some groups that certainly said, a majority of them said this is an urgent priority to them. Others disagreed. So it's not quite at majority support, but we know that it's going to be a big issue in this coming election season. So we encourage candidates to take a look at the findings around minimum wage.
You tried to gauge the mood of Michigan in general, and you found that 60% feel either good or great about the state, and they feel that things have gotten a bit better here in the last 4 years. What do you make of that?
For me, it almost felt like a sense of cautious optimism. I will speak from the conversations that I facilitated. The residents that I spoke with just generally felt as though, you know, things aren't perfect. We still have work to do in our state, but it seems as though the mood, even compared to when I was facilitating conversations in 2012, is somewhat improved. People are feeling as though there are possibilities. The economy is improving.
Is that good news for the Snyder administration and incumbents in the legislature?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think it's the mood is somewhat improved, but there's also these big citizen agenda items that Michigan residents want to see addressed. So I guess November will tell us.
Well, there's more. There's more than one wolf hunting proposal related after yesterday.
That's what happened at the Capitol.
So there's a lot of ballot action as well. What's next with the survey? I know copies have been delivered to all the sitting legislators and are being sent to everyone who's filed to run for office this year. You're hoping these community conversations continue between now and the election?
Absolutely. So from now all the way through November, we will be hosting some community and candidate engagement events. And I encourage anyone listening to check out our website, thecenterformichigan.net. We'll be posting all of these opportunities on our website. We'll be doing these throughout the state, and hoping that Michigan residents will join us in asking candidates how they plan to carry out their agenda.
In the past, how would you gauge the effectiveness of your survey? Have politicians in the past focused on the issues that the center has raised?
They really have. I mean, it's been an incredible thing to be part of. In previous community conversation campaigns, we've actually seen policy change be at least in some way sparked by the findings of these reports. For example, our last public engagement campaign, which focused on K-12 education, one of the big takeaways was Michigan residents wanted to see more investment in early childhood education programs, high-quality early childhood education programs. And Michigan actually led the nation in expanding funding for the Great Start Readiness Program last year in last year's budget. And as of the writing of this report, it looks as though there's a possibility that there will be even more expansion and funding for that program. So we know that Michigan leaders are listening.
Amber DeLinde is with the Center for Michigan. You can find the center's Michigan Speaks, A Citizen's Agenda for the 2014 Elections online at the Bridge Magazine website. That's bridge-mi.com. Thank you, Amber.
Thank you, Mark.